And welcome back to Across America. It's 34 past the hour. Glad to have you along here with us on a Saturday afternoon. Well, many of you may have moms or dads that are maybe in some kind of a retirement home or in a hospital. Well, there's ups and downs to those. And our next guest, she is an author. She has a book out called Ready for Pre-Retirement, or you can go to preretirement.com. I'd like to welcome to the program Ms. Chris Miller. Chris, welcome to Across America.
Thanks for having me, Gary.
So tell us what's going on. You know, we put our loved ones in a hospital or in a home, or we're trying to prepare to put mom and dad into a home. I know a lot of people like to try to keep them in their own home, but sometimes there are some conditions that warrant 24-hour care that we just can't give them. Tell us what's going on in some of these facilities.
Well, the information is quite shocking. Because it's not just for mom and dad, but virtually it's one out of seven end up in a convalescent home.
Wow.
And then half of everybody over 65 will end up in a convalescent home. Well, why? Well, they have a rule in the hospital called the DRG rule, which means get you out of there as soon as possible. And they want you out of there within 3 days. Why? Because they're going to make less money.
Now, is this pretty much universal across America, or is
Yes.
this just in pockets of areas? And is this major like Memorial hospitals or just little clinics, or where are we finding a lot of this behavior going on?
It's in major hospitals. I don't know if it's in private hospitals per se, but in most of your hospitals across the country, that's the way it's set up. Because those hospitals are going to make less money if you're there for longer than 3 days. I mean, as an example, my mom had cancer for 10 years, and on day two, this is at Stanford Hospital, right? One of the best around, and she had colon, you know, treatment and operations. She's in intensive care, and on day two, they moved her to a nursing home.
So, you know, I think a lot of people's ideas as long as they have money or as long as they have benefits on their present insurance and they haven't maxed out their $2 million or $5 million lifetime max, that everything's okay. But evidently that's not the way that it is. What's the contrast between if you have insurance, if you don't? Why the 3 days? Why are they losing money after 3 days?
Okay, well, first of all, most people's insurance don't cover convalescent care. And you'll be shocked to find that Medicare doesn't cover convalescent care. Your HMOs don't cover convalescent care. You're going to pay out of your pocket. That's going to run you anywhere from $170 to $350 a day. That's how much it costs in a convalescent nursing home place, center.
Yeah, either that or they call it long-term care, and
right.
Or they call it skilled nursing facility. And then at that time, normally you need some kind of a case management with an insurance company or something like that to be able to authorize that kind of stay. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. And part of the problem is that people don't realize that their insurance doesn't cover it. And so your regular insurance or my regular insurance is not going to cover it. If I break my leg skiing and I end up in a convalescent care, I am paying out of my pocket. It's not just, you know, isolated if you're 65 or over. But if you're 65 or over, and you would think that your Medicare is going to cover it, but they're not going to cover it. So it's not like the average person is going to be able to pay for it. As another example, home care is outrageous. So if you want to be in your home and you don't have long-term care insurance, that will run you anywhere from $200 to $350 a day. Which was $11,000 a month in Northern California for my mom.
So, and we're talking with Chris Miller. She's the author of, or actually has a website out, readyforpreretirement.com. And also, you have a book out as well. Is that correct?
I sure do. And I'm going to offer everybody that's listening to your show that will email me a 10% off on this book. And they can email me at Chris, K-R-I-S, at readyforpreretirement.com. Pre-retirement. It's P-R-E-T-I-R-E-M-E-N-T. In other words, plan before you're tired.
Right. Exactly. And we'll be talking to Chris a little bit more after the break. We've got to go to this break now, but you're listening to Across America with our special guest, Chris Miller, and she's going to be talking to us a little bit more about her book and what to expect in hospitals and how to get ready for pre-retirement. We'll be back right after this. Glad to have you aboard this Saturday afternoon. Hope you're enjoying yourself wherever you are. I mean, I want to welcome back our guest, and she's given us a lot of good information, Chris Miller. She's talking about get well or get out, how hospitals are losing their patients. Chris, welcome back to the program.
Thanks.
Let's talk a little bit about, so we go into the hospital, say, for 3 days. Is this something that's done on an administrative level, or did the patient start feeling the pressure like, we want you out of here? I know that I have, when we had our child in a hospital, she was having some problems, and it felt like, man, after a week, like the nurses just kind of like, you wore your welcome out. Right. Really didn't like that feeling. Is that kind of what people are experiencing in other areas, or
yes,
is it more on an administrative end?
No, it's on all levels, and people just get treated horribly, like you said, with your daughter, and it's everywhere. It isn't just located in one area. They might have less of it, but it happens to everybody that gets in there. Like I was telling you about my mom at Stanford Hospital. That's the best, one of the best hospitals.
And that's in California?
That's in California, Stanford University Hospital,
uh-huh,
where they do all the research. And, you know, after major cancer surgery, on day two, the person's in intensive care, which is my mom, and they moved her to a nursing home. From intensive care. She wasn't even out of intensive care. Now, if that doesn't tell you something about the hospital, that's a really good one, too.
Well, you know? I mean, is there any legal issues with this? I mean, I'm not trying to say let's just go after hospitals and get a bunch of money from them, because that's going to raise everybody's rates.
Yeah.
But for something that's legitimate, you know, like moving somebody out of intensive care or an ICU or something early. And I was just at the ICU today visiting someone. You know, moving them out early, couldn't that be a legal issue here if that was done prematurely?
It could be. Yes, it could be. But, everything that's happening, like you're overwhelmed. I mean, your family member is dying of cancer and all these things are happening. And, you know, and you're like moment to moment. Most people aren't really ready to go file a lawsuit and do that in that way. Now they're just expecting people to be self-insured, and there's not really, you're not going to really have any big legal standing, because they've gotten the laws all, you know, messed up and complicated, that it's not just any cut and dry thing, and the doctor's signing off on it too, so they're part of that. So the lawsuit way is not really going to be any fruitful way for you, and unfortunately there aren't a lot of options for people other than self-insuring, getting long-term care insurance, or having a plan in place on what will happen if something happens.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about kind of some of the preventive avenues that before we get to this place and we're faced with this kind of stuff, you know, we're engaged with mom or dad or ourselves in the hospital. And like you said, nobody wants to really deal with lawsuits and what have you. So why don't you talk a little bit about some preventive measures that we can take, or some pre-retirement prevention that people ought to take before retirement?
Okay, well, pertaining to the hospital issue, the first place that everybody should do, no matter who you are or what kind of assets you have, is take time, take a moment out, and talk with your family members and your spouse or your kids or whoever, that you need to at least say, well, what happens if this happens? What happens if there's an earthquake and this happens? What happens? And talk about the scenario. What happens if I'm incapacitated? I'm at the gym and I fall down and I hit my head and I'm out of it. What do I want to have happen? And to be able to discuss this, this is a thing that happens a lot, is people don't want to talk about death and taxes. So, you know, it's not a subject people want to talk about. But first of all, discuss it with your family member. And second of all, if you can afford it, get some long-term care insurance. Now, you may think, well, I don't want to pay more money every month. But paying, you know, $100 a month, depending on your age and your health, is a lot more affordable than paying $50,000 to $80,000 or $100,000 a year for long-term care in a nursing home, let alone at your own home. So those are the first steps. You also should make sure that you have powers of attorney for health care. have the new one that has the HIPAA law in it, because they've added that in there, that if you don't have the HIPAA law, you don't have the right of privacy, and then they won't release your medical records. So you want to make sure you have those. And healthcare powers of attorney are important whether you had assets or not. You are your most valuable asset. So you need to have that, and you need to have that for your children, too. So that, you know, if something happens, who's going to be a guardian for your children? Who will take care of your children?
And that's absolutely something people need to think about, because one of the things that really off-guard people is they're trying to get some information on mom and dad, say a daughter, and you know, mom's not in the greatest shape, or they're trying to either get some information or trying to dispel some. But the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act of 1996, or HIPAA, the Privacy and Security Rules, that's one of the things that really set a lot of people off. And because they don't get these pre-authorizations beforehand, and I do believe they're good for 2 years once you get them in writing, that is absolutely something that should be taken care of prior, before mom and dad or even your spouse get sick. Get that HIPAA authorization out there. Get that authorization going so there are no surprises when we're in a drastic situation. Because believe me, Chris, it can really cause a high level of frustration.
Oh, that's absolutely for sure. And if you get the right kind of HIPAA, power of attorney for healthcare, there's no limitation. It should be good for the rest of your life.
Well, and what that kind of falls into is what they call power of attorney, which I think is what you're talking about.
Right.
The power of attorney, most of the time, can get you, you know, that can get you authorization for infinity, unless the person would take you out of that status and or the person would pass away.
Right. Right, and the power of attorney for healthcare is really important, because not only is it, you know, it lets you decide what medical treatments you want to have or you don't want to have, instead of some doctor that looks at your insurance policy and makes decisions upon that, you know, where you can make your own and have those all set up ahead of time, so there's not a craziness in the moment that you need something to happen.
And what's another thing on the checklist for pre-retirement that we ought to be looking at?
Well, it's a I look at it as three basic, and maybe we can, you know, break off on another time each one of these. But number one, if you have any equity in real estate or any assets at all, you need to have a living trust. And a living trust basically is a legal document that protects you from probate. And what's probate? Probate's courts, and there's a lot of attorney fees and court costs that you don't need to pay, because essentially when you have a living trust, it lets you leave what you have to your family without any middleman. It goes directly from you to them. Now, this information has been withheld from the average person since the Middle Ages for centuries. They've been around that long, and quite frankly, probate has been a big business. So living trusts have not really been known about except for the last 20 years, I'd say. But that's really important, number one. Number two is you need to make sure that your beneficiary designations on your IRAs and 401ks are current.
Oh, yes.
And you need to put a bottom on your money. And that's just my opinion, because I don't think we're out of the woods, and I think we're in those kind of times, you know. And there are some amazing, and I'm not going to sell products or anything, but there's some amazing equity index annuities that actually give you a 7% bonus when you put your money in there. They give you a 7% interest on your income for the rest of your life, that you could actually, you know, have income that you never run out of money. There's some good, safe places to have your money where you can actually make money and never lose your principal. Never. You don't have market risk with these. And this is another one. Not one person lost $1 in annuity in the Great Depression. Now, this isn't the one that the big brokers and your banks sell you, because those are a different kind. There are a lot of different kind out there, but all I'm saying is to make sure you have a bottom on your retirement accounts. And I can't tell you how many clients I've seen in my practice of 20 years that get to their 70s and 80s and go access their pension and their IRA, and it's not there, or they've lost half of it. You don't need to have that at risk, you know. So that's the second prong. And then the third is making sure that you have a comprehensive long-term care policy or system in place to make sure that you're not going to be a victim of the system.
We're talking with Chris Miller. She's the author of Ready for Pre-Retirement at readyforpreretirement.com. And if you want to get a copy of her book, 10% off to our listeners here, just simply write in that you had heard her on Across America at Chris, that's K-R-I-S-S, as in Sierra, K-R-I-S-S at readyforpreretirement.com. Is that right?
No, it's K-R-I-S, one S.
Oh, K-R-I-S, okay.
Yeah, and it's Ready for Pre, P-R-E, Retirement, T-I-R-E-M-E-N-T, Pre-Tirement.
Pre-Tirement, instead
yeah.
of retirement, pre-tirement.com.
Right.
You know, I'm hearing you talk about a lot of these financial aspects. I think another thing that people need to do is realize that as they get older, to create a realistic budget.
Right, yes. Absolutely.
As in adding up their essential living expenses and matching with their guaranteed sources of income, such as Social Security. What do you think about that, Chris?
About what was the last question?
I said creating a realistic budget. You know,
oh,
as we
yes.
get older, we got to realize that money's not going to be there all the time. So in a sense, we need to kind of add up our essential living expenses and match
yes.
them with our guaranteed sources of income like Social Security. That way, yeah. if there's a shortfall, then they know they're going to have to fill that gap by drawing down on some of their savings or using
right.
a chunk of their nest egg to buy an
right.
annuity.
Right. And that's really important because in my state of mind, I'm not even going to be counting on Medicare. I'm going to pretend that I'm my own Medicare. And so what I'm doing is I'm downsizing, okay, do I really need this? Do I really need this expense? Pay off all credits. If you can't buy it, you can't pay for it, don't buy it. I mean, really downsize and live a little less on the hog, as they say, so that you could have those assets. You know, there are some amazing things out there. There's one a company out there that's the oldest insurance company in the world, and they imagine taking your RMDs, right, your required minimum distribution,
okay.
and still have the same amount of principal you put in there plus 4% added to there for your family so that when you go to heaven, you still took your RMDs and still left the same amount of money you put in there plus 4%. And it's amazing. Now, that's a nice thing to leave to a spouse or kids, you know, and still you can use and still live off your RMDs.
Now, what about paying off their mortgage? I mean, I understand when people get real old, hopefully they only had a 15 or 30-year mortgage and that
yeah.
was paid off. How many kids are being left with the death of a loved one's mortgage? Shouldn't they be striving to get those mortgages paid off?
I think so.
And like establish a home equity line of credit so that
yes.
they'll have access to credit with tax-deductible interest and things like that?
Yes, very good point. And why not right now, if they haven't already, taken advantage of refi and getting a better interest rate, because a lot of those people haven't really done the planning when they get older, then they're having to do reverse mortgages because they were upside down with their houses, like especially in California. That's happening
oh, man.
A whole lot.
Yeah, and I think the dirty little secret is, Chris, that people don't realize that if they do that before they retire, they'll cut their expenses significantly as well once they do.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point. And, you know, I have like 10 tips and things that we send out to people. Like I say, if you want to email me, I keep you up to date. But there are things that the average person just doesn't get till it's too late. This is the planning people really should start. I mean, if you get married or you have children or you have any equity at all, you should be planning. If you don't have any equity at all, still get the powers of attorney for financial and health and still get those things in place. But retirement planning, like I call it pre-retirement planning, right? Instead
right.
of waiting till you're retired to plan, do it now before you're tired. And then when you're retired, then you can really enjoy and not have to worry about all the things that are happening. At least it lessens it.
And one last thing, Chris Miller, that I wanted to bring up. Let's say that, sometimes you have to adjust just like an airplane. You get up, you may have started out at one speed or the attitude of the plane was at one place, but then you have to adjust. Well, let's say your kids are grown, and your house is paid off. They may not need the life insurance. You know, is it wise for them to continue to pay large chunks of money into something that they could be saving for themselves and meeting some of these other needs rather than feeling guilty like they got to have this big lump of money for their kids when they're gone?
Right. That's a great point. And now you can take that life insurance, and if it's a whole life insurance product that has cash value, you can roll that over, and you can actually either buy yourself long-term care insurance with that equity in the whole life policy, or you could roll it over into an annuity.
Good stuff. Chris Miller, why don't you tell us where your website is one more time?
Okay. It's called Ready for Pretirement, www.readyready4, F-O-R, pre-retirement, readyforpretirement.com. I invite you all to send me an email at kris@readyforpretirement.com, and we'll send you, get you hooked up with a book and our 10 tips on getting ready for pretirement.
Thanks a lot, Chris Miller, for being on Across America today. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Gary. I really appreciate it, too.
And we'll be back with Bob Pickens, former NFL player, to talk about the NFL lockout right after this.
Cheyenne's number one news talk radio, KG.